Page 394, last week we did the first pasuk. Today we're going to go to pasuk beis. Okay. Last week's, what?
I'm cold. It's winter time.
Winter? Where do you live?
L.A.
I was at a place today, and this girl's on the cell phone. She's obviously from out east. And she's talking to somebody. I overhear she's talking loud. She says, you know, the weather's so beautiful here, but these people are walking around freezing.
She was right.
She says, the weather's gorgeous and warm, and, you know, like... Okay. Last week's pasuk we learned that Yisrael, the father-in-law, the Kohen Midian, father-in-law Moshe, heard everything Hashem did to Moshe and the Jews, that Hashem took the Jews out of Mitzrayim. So, just to finish one point that we didn't finish last week, Rashi says, what did Yisra hear that made him come? What did he hear that made him come? So Rashi answers, he heard the fact of Kriyas Yamsuf, that Hashem split the sea, and the battle of Amalek. So, the question that all the commentaries ask is, the Pasuk says what he heard, that God took the Jews out of Egypt. So, like Rashi says, so why does Rashi have to come along with something new that the Pasuk doesn't say, if the Pasuk says exactly what Yisrael heard? So the Rebbe explains an interesting concept. And the Rebbe explains, Rashi doesn't say, what did he hear? Rashi says, what did he hear that made him come? What did he come for? In other words, something that happened 3 weeks ago, and you heard about it, why should that make you come now? God took the Jews out of Mitzrayim 7 weeks earlier. Well, the Yisra came before Matan Torah, after Matan Torah. But it was 6 weeks for sure since Yitzias Mitzrayim. So all of a sudden he woke up 6 weeks later. Oh, I heard that God took the Jews out of Egypt, so therefore I'm going to come. So Rashi asks not what he heard. The Pasuk says what he heard. But what did he hear that made him come now? And that's where Rashi says, interesting, besides Kiryas Yamsuf, we'll see in a second. Rashi says, Melchemes Amalek, the battle of Amalek. It doesn't say the victory over Amalek. I mean, that should have been the miracle that he heard, that the Jews won over Amalek at the end of last week's, or last time's parsha. The Melchemes Amalek means that the war is not over. It's like Rashi says, the Pasuk says before, it's Midar Dar. It's a Muhammad and every generation. Yisrael heard and understood. The Jews come out of Egypt. They're this, like we learned last time, boiling hot nation, full of, everybody was afraid to stand up with them. And all of a sudden this nation of Amalek comes and constantly fights the Jewish people. So Rashi says, what made Yisrael come? The fact that there was a battle with Amalek, that itself made him come. Because that's ongoing now. Where's your husband? Coming. The second thing is Kriyas Yamsuf. What's Kriyas Yamsuf? Kriyas Yamsuf, when they got split the sea, it said all the nations of the world were petrified of the Jewish people. They were open. Namoigul Kol Yeshvech Non, the whole land of Canaan, all seven nations were petrified of the Jews. So what happens? Comes Amalek and starts fighting the Jews. After all the nations are afraid of it. And it's an ongoing battle. That's what made Yisrael come. To see what's really going on over here and to give the Jews, you know, encouragement, so to speak. So it wasn't something that he heard the past. Because hearing something that happened months ago, weeks ago, is not going to cause you to come now. It had to be something now. That's why Rashi says, what did Yisrael hear that made him come? Was things that were happening now, the battle of Amalek and Kriyas Yamsuf. Meaning, because Kriyas Yamsuf caused all the nations of the world to be afraid, and yet Amalek came to fight, that's what made him come. Okay, so now Pasuk Beis. That was just finishing up from last week. Vayikach Yisrael 394. So the Pasuk says now as follows. Vayikach Yisrael Chesem Meshe, Yisrael, the father-in-law of Meshe, and like Rashi says, this was Yisrael priding himself with his son-in-law. That's why the Pasuk is emphasizing that he was Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law. So he took Esipera Eshes Moshe, the wife of Moshe, Acha Shiluchel, after he, and the way the Mefarshim seem to learn, that he actually divorced her. When Rashi says the Medrash over here, what happens? One second. When Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu lived in Midian, Hashem said to him, go to check out the Jews and tell them that I'm taking you out of Egypt. So Moshe Rabbeinu brought his wife and kids to Egypt. You know, he brought his family down to Egypt. Aaron says to him, who are these? Who are you bringing here? He says, it's my wife and kids. So Aaron says to him, we have enough problems with the Jews there. You're giving us more problems. The Jews are suffering. Why are you bringing your wife and kids down here? So it says, Acha Shiluchel, that after he sent her away, so Moshe Rabbeinu sent her back to her father's house. And according to certain opinions, not only did he send her back, but actually he divorced her because he didn't want her to be stuck. In case something happened, like the Gemara says that whenever a soldier in David HaMelech's army went to war, before they went to war, they divorced their wives.
Tonight.
Not all tonight. They divorced their wives. It was a divorce. Why? In case they didn't come back from battle. They didn't come back from battle. So then the wife was divorced. They came back. They redid the chasana. They remarried her. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want Zipporah to be stuck. Because he didn't know what was going to happen in Egypt, what's going to be, and maybe he'll be missing. Whatever the story is. So Moshe Rabbeinu, according to many Mefarshim, actually divorced Zipporah. And that's why it says, Acha Shiluchel, after he actually sent her away. Yeah. If they still like the wives. If they didn't, they didn't. Okay, so...
Before you go forward, during World War II...
Oh, we heard this one already.
I never told you this. The Marines, they didn't tell the men, divorce your wife before we send you overseas.
Good.
Kiss her, hug her, love her.
Do whatever you want. Just get rid of her. Okay.
My God.
The Balaturim.
Divorce your wife was. God, who wrote that law?
The Balaturim says an interesting concept, and he says that if he divorced her, why is the Torah calling her Ashes Mesha, the wife of Mesha? If he divorced her, why is she called the wife of Mesha? No, so it says. So it says, Balaturim says, because there's a din that the wife of a king, even the widow of a king, is not allowed to remarry anybody else. It's degrading for a king that his wife, whether divorced or died,
Jewish king.
Talking about Jewish king, cannot marry anybody else. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of a king. So even though he sent her away, but she still basically was connected to Moshe because she wasn't allowed to marry anybody else. Other Mefarshim learned it a little bit differently, that even though Moshe Rabbeinu divorced her, she didn't marry anybody else, she stayed, you know, close to Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore she came back, and Moshe Rabbeinu obviously remarried her, according to that opinion. So who did he bring? He brought his wife, and then Moshe Rabbeinu's wife, Ve'eish Nevanel, and her two children. What? Shemo Echad Gershem. The name of one of Moshe Rabbeinu's children was Gershem, ki Amar, because he said, Ger ha-yisi be'eretz nachriya, I was a stranger in a foreign land. And then it was to learn the next passage to explain. B'shem ha-echad Eliezer, and the name of the other one was Eliezer, ki alekei avi be'ezri, because the God of my father was with my help, v'yatzileini micherev pari, he saved me from the sword of pari. So he said, he named his two kids Gershem, and Eliezer. So the Pasuk says, why did he call him Gershem? Because Gershem is two words. Gershom. He was a stranger. Meaning, he was a stranger in the land, in his foreign land, the Beretz Nochriya. The second son, he called Eliezer. Because Elokei Avi Be'ezri, Eliezri, meaning my God helped me. When, Rashi says in the Medrash, that when Dasan and Aviram snitched on Moshe Rabbeinu, that he killed the Egyptian. So it says, Pare wanted to kill him. So it says, Pare took a sword and wanted to chop off Moshe Rabbeinu's head. and his neck, the Medrash says, turned into marble. So when he hit the neck, the sword broke. And then Moshe Rabbeinu ran away to Midian. So the second one he called Eliezer because he saved him from the sword of Pari. So the Rachaim asks an interesting question. Lucheira, what happened first? First Eliezer. First he got saved. And then he went to Midian, which was a foreign country. So why did he name the first kid Gershom and the second kid Eliezer? He should have named the first kid Eliezer and then the second kid Gershom. Because that's what happened first. First he was saved from Pari's sword. Then he ran to Midian, which was a foreign country. So he answers this very interesting thing. When you name a kid, you don't know how many kids you're going to have, right? So the first kid you name, based on the most recent thing. Then when you have a second kid, it's like you'll name a first kid after a grandfather, let's say. And then if you have another kid, you go to the great-grandfather. You're not going to first name it after the great-grandfather and then after the grandfather. Usually not. So I'm saying, first, the Rechayim says, first he named him for now, and then he had a second son, so he called him Eliezer, to go back a little bit historically. But there's a beautiful, not that it's so directly connected over here, but the Mefarshim ask a question. When it says V'shemo Echad Eliezer, you read, Devanezer asks the question, but there's a remarkable story over here. He says, in Hebrew, you say, he named one Gershom, and the second one he named Eliezer. I mean, that would be the normal way of speaking. Here the Pasuk says, Shem Ha'echad Gershom, and in Pasuk Dalet he says, V'shem Ha'echad Eliezer. He should have said, V'shem Ha'sheni Eliezer. Why does he name it Ha'echad again? The name of one is Gershom, the name of one is Eliezer. She said the second one is Eliezer. So the Ebenezer writes that in Lashon Kodesh, sometimes you do like this, sometimes you do like this, it really doesn't matter. But there's a Medrash over here that says as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu, first let me explain what he says before he goes into the story. He brings down as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to name the kid Eliezer, the first kid, because Dathan and Aviram were still alive. And he was afraid, if I start naming my kid for the miracle that happened to me, Dathan and Aviram are going to start up with me again. So he said, or with the kid. So he said, you know what? Let me name my first kid Gershom. Then we learned before in Shmais that the part Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, the people that wanted to hurt you died. The Rashi explained they didn't die because Dathan and Aviram were alive later on in Chumash. What it means is they became broke and the poor man is considered dead. So the Pasuk says they died. So after Dathan and Aviram were not powerful anymore, they became poor, so there were no big machers. So then he was able to name the second kid Eliezer. But he didn't want to name the first kid Eliezer. But now he says like this. It says in the Medrash, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai to get the Torah, he heard God learning. Okay, God was learning the parsha of Parah Aduma, of the red heifer. And he heard the way God said, Eliezer, my son, this is what God said, Eliezer, my son, says that the red heifer has to be 2 years old. That's what he heard God say in heaven. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you're saying something in the name of a person? I mean, you know, you hear something from somebody else, you say it in the name. God has to say something in Torah that he wrote in the name of Eliezer. So Hashem said to him, there's a tzaddik that's going to get up, and he's going to be such a great tzaddik, he's going to teach all the dinim of Parah Aduma. So Moshe said to Hashem, may it be your will that this guy should come out of me. Should be my descendant. So God said, no problem. He's going to be your descendant. Who is this guy? That guy. Who is this great tzaddik? Is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. There's a famous Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. We told part of the story many times already. Rabbi Eliezer's father, his name was Hyrcanus. This Hyrcanus was an extremely rich man. He was one of the most powerful Jews in his time. And his kids used to work in his fields, plowing the fields. And this Eliezer was one of them. One time the father Hyrcanus came out into the field to check out, you know, how business is going. And he saw Eliezer was sitting there and crying. His son Eliezer was crying. So he said to him, "Why are you crying?" He didn't answer. So the father thought, you know what, it's probably giving him too hard work. So he's crying. So I'm going to make the work easier. So he gave him a lighter job to do. The next day he went. Every day he goes and he sees the kid crying. Sounds like kids today. So he says, "Why are you crying?" Finally, God said to him, "You have to tell me why you're crying." So he says, "Because I want to go learn Torah. I don't want to work." So he said to him, Eliezer ben Hyrcanus at this age was 28 years old. The father said to him, "Now you want to go learn Torah at 28? You should have gone when you were a kid. Now that you're big, it ain't happening. Get married, have kids, teach those kids Torah when they're young. You're too old, you're an old geezer already. 28 years old, ain't nothing going to happen from you. Forget it." So, it says, the Gemara says, that Eliezer fasted for 2 weeks. And he davened to Hashem that he should open up a passage, an ability that he should go learn Torah. 2 weeks later, Elio came to him and said, "Hyrcanus, son, why are you crying?" He said, "I want to learn Torah." He says, "Okay, you want to become a chacham? You want to become a scholar? Go to Rabbi Yechonim ben Zakkai. Don't tell your father. Don't get permission from your father. Run away from home." He was a big boy, 28. "Run away from home and go to Rabbi Yechonim ben Zakkai." He came to Rabbi Yechonim ben Zakkai. He started crying. He's a crybaby, this guy. Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. So he said to him, "Why are you crying?" So he says, "I want to learn Torah." So he said, "Whose son are you? Like, who are you?" So he didn't answer. He didn't want to say his father was Hyrcanus. So he said to him, "Okay, but you never read Shema, davening, benching. Did you ever learn how to read, davening, and never learned anything?" So he said, "Okay, I'll teach you." Rabbi Yechonim ben Zakkai said, "I'll teach you how to daven. I'll teach you how to say brachas. I'll teach you how to Shema." He's still crying. He says to him, "Why are you crying?" He said, "I want to learn Torah." So he says, he taught him two halachas every day of the week, and he told him to review it, and he reviewed it. At the end of 8 days, this Eliezer didn't eat. He was so busy in learning, he didn't eat. So he had bad breath, not eating for 8 days. So Rabbi Yechonim ben Zakkai again, he sees the kid crying. He says, "Why are you crying?" He says, "Because you threw me away like a mukashchin, like a person who was diseased." He said, "Listen, I can't take the smell, you know, from your mouth." So he says, "Okay, whose son are you?" So here he said, "Hyrcanus, my father." So he said, "Hyrcanus is one of the greatest people in our generation, you know, powerful people. You didn't tell me. Okay, today you're going to come and eat by me." Rabbi Yechonim ben Zakkai said, "Today you're going to come eat in my house." He said, "I ate already." He said, "By whom did you eat?" He said, "By Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. I ate by their house." Rabbi Yechonim ben Zakkai didn't think it was true. He sent to them, he said, "Did he eat?" He said, "No."
"How are you like?"
"Huh?"
"How are you like?"
"He ate Torah." So what happened? So Lepel, Eliezer ben Hyrcanus became the very great tzaddik. By Rabbi Yechonim ben Zakkai. So, the kids who were angry that the brother deserted them, he left them with the work in the field, they said to the father, "Go up to Yerushalayim and disown your son Hyrcanus for running away. Eliezer for running away." So, he came to Rabbi Yechonim ben Zakkai. Okay, Rabbi Yechonim ben Zakkai was celebrating, all the rich guys were there, Ben Tzitzis, all these guys. And somebody said to him, that Eliezer ben Hyrcanus' father came. Hyrcanus is here. But by then, he grew up and his father didn't recognize him. So he says, he puts on hook by the table, and Rebbe Chaim says to Eliezer, say Torah. So he said, Rebbe, he gave him an analogy, a pit cannot give out more water than you put into it. Meaning, how can I speak? I don't know anything more than what you taught me. How can I speak? So he said, no, it's similar to a well, that a well can give out more water than the original place. So he says, so then Rabbi Yechman Zaki realized that Eliezer didn't want to do it. So he said, you want me, maybe you're embarrassed, you don't want to speak in front of me. Rabbi Yechman Zaki said to him. So he said, I left. Rabbi Yechman Zaki left. Rabbi Eliezer started speaking. Light started shining all over the place and the rays of Kedusha came. And nobody even knew if it was day or night. It was such light from his speaking. So Rabbi Yechman Zaki came in the back and kissed him. And he said, praiseworthy is the person that has the children. Anyway, the bottom line is, Hyrcanus disowned all the other children and gave all his money to Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. So this Rabbi Eliezer, he was a Yid. Now, it says that even though he started learning Torah at 28, he was, by the way, the teacher of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer was called Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. The Gemara says about him, doesn't bring it down here, but the Gemara says about him that the stone, they didn't have chairs. They used to sit on a stone. They called the stone that he sat on when he learned, they called it Har Sinai. Because it was the revelation of Torah. And it says he was so great that if the whole heaven would be parchment and all the ocean would be ink and all the trees would be pens, you couldn't write his greatness in Torah. That's how great he was. And that's why... it says Rabbi Eliezer, yeah. But, so therefore, this Shemo Echad Eliezer refers also to the descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu, Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. And therefore, the Torah doesn't call him the second one. The Torah calls him Shemo Echad, like the first one, because he was such a great person. So that's the story of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, and that's why the Medrash explains why over here it doesn't say V'shem Hasheni Eliezer, because Taki was the very great one. Yeah.
But really, his own son is Eliezer, right?
Yeah, Moshe's son is Eliezer, there's no question. They're very great people. Gershom and Eliezer were very great people. I'm saying Gershom and Eliezer of Moshe Rabbeinu's children were very great people. Where do we see this? Even though you don't hear too much about them, but when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu later in Chumash, you have to say Moshe Rabbeinu, a tzaddik is not blinded by personal things. A tzaddik is to the cause. When Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, go up to Har Neve and die, yeah? And so Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, you need to make her a leader. Yeah. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, what's wrong with my kids? So Hashem said, no, Yeshua has to be the leader. But the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu maintained that his children could be the next Moshe Rabbeinu shows that they were obviously very, very great people. Because if not, Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't say, just take them because of my kids. I mean, so obviously they were very great tzaddikim. It says later, there's a medrash in the book of Yeshua, I think it is, that Gershom's son, or grandson, whatever, was an idol worshipper. No. So Yitzchak had an Esav too. I mean, what's the surprise? No? Yitzchak had an Esav, so Moshe Rabbeinu is either grandson or great-grandson. Because later on in Chumash, in Tanakh, they change a little bit, or they add whatever to make it a little bit different. They say, this guy Ben Gershom Ben Menashe instead of Ben Moshe, because they didn't want to put Moshe's name. But the two children themselves, Gershom and Eliezer, were very good tzaddikim. Okay, so the pasuk continues and says, Vayavei Yisrei Chesen Moshe, Yisrei, the father of Moshe, came. Ubono V'ishtei Al Moshe. He came with his sons and his wife to Moshe, Elamidbar, to the desert, Ashochena Sham Haro Alikim, where Moshe Rabbeinu was camping in the desert. Now, why does the Torah say we know where the Jews were? You learn the Chumash. It says where the Jews were. Why is the Torah saying he came out to the Midbar? To tell us the greatness of Yisrael, that even though he was Kohen Midyan, he lived a world of luxury, right? He lived in the estates of Midyan. Nevertheless, he was willing to drop it all to come to be able to, even to the desert, El Midbar, even to the desert where he was resting there next to Har Elokim. Because he wanted to be able to learn Torah, to acquire Torah. And again, it says, even though we already know already three times in three psukim, it says, Chesin Meisha, Chesin Meisha, the father-in-law Meisha, how many times do you have to say the same thing? The Pasuk is teaching us that Yisrael prided himself from the fact that he was the Chesin Meisha. That was his, like, nachas, you know, that his son-in-law was Meisha Rabbeinu. Another interesting thing that I didn't see yet. It's interesting, Dor HaChaim, before we even get there, Dor HaChaim asks a question, how in the world can Yisrael find him in the desert? I mean, it's a big place. So that's why the Pasuk says, Ashochena Sham Haro Alekim. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was told in Midyan at the burning bush, when you take the people out of Mitzrayim, you're going to serve God on this mountain. So, and obviously Moshe spoke to his father-in-law. So he told him that we're going to go serve God in Har Elokim. So if you go looking for Moshe in the Midbar, where are you going to go? Near Har Sinai, where Moshe Rabbeinu was. So that's why the Pasuk is saying, the Rechaim explains, that's how Yisrael was able to know where Moshe Rabbeinu was in the Midbar, because it was near Har Elokim. Some people say they know now where it is. But there's another interesting thing here that I don't see the Mefarshim talking, maybe they do, because the order over here is changed. In Pasuk Beis, it says Yisrael brought Tzipora and the kids. Here it says he brought the kids and his wife, Almesha. He changed the order from wife to kids. Okay. One minute. So he explains why. Okay. So the Avinezer says why? Because when you travel, coming to Mesha, who came first? Yisrael, followed by the kids, and then the woman. The woman traveled in the back. So that's why she came later. No, she had to make sure everybody was behaving. Don't get nervous. The women had to make sure all the men behaved, so they have to be in the back, you know. Monitor the men. Make sure they don't run away somewhere. You know. Yeah, but here it says Banov. Here in Patsikei it says Banov. But they didn't come yet. I understand, but in Patsikei they didn't come yet. Okay, Vayemel Mesha, so Yisrael said to Mesha, Ani chesencha Yisrael bo'eilecha. Now, obviously, he didn't come yet. Like we'll soon see that in Patsik Zion it says Mesha went out to meet his father-in-law. So if Moshe Rabbeinu went out to meet his father-in-law, so then how did Yisrael tell Moshe, I'm coming? He wasn't there yet. So it says that he, like Rashi says, Ayidei Shliach, he sent a messenger. And some people say he sent actually a letter. He sent a letter to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so it says, Vayemer Moshe, he said to Moshe, Ani chesencha Yisrael bo eilecha, are your father-in-law Yisrael came to you, v'ishtecha and your wife, v'shnei v'nei ima, and the two sons. So what did he say? Now this is a different order. So he says as follows. Yisri sends a letter to Moshe Rabbeinu. Listen, I'm coming with your kids and your wife. You want, you should come out for me. You don't want to come out for me, come out for your kids. You don't want to come out for your kids, at least come out for your wife. In other words, at least come out for the two kids. So he says, no, that's why the Pasuk says he went out to greet his father-in-law. Yisri said, listen, come for me. You don't want to come for me, come for your wife. You don't want to come for your wife, at least come for the kids. So now the Pasuk says, no, Moshe Rabbeinu went out Likras Chaisne to meet his father-in-law. Okay. Now, the Mefarshim ask a question. Yisri says to Moshe, come out to meet me. That's what he basically says. Come out to meet me. Isn't that a little chutzpidik, what Yisri was power hungry? He wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to come out to meet him. So Mefarshim explain, Yisri wanted to teach Inyan and Yiddishkeit. Yisri is becoming a convert. He's becoming a ger. He wants to show the world how God respects the converts. So he says to Moshe, come out to meet me. So by you coming out to meet me, you will show the world that people that are converting to Yiddishkeit, and do it properly, obviously, are to be held in high esteem, especially a guy like Yisri that knew every idol worshipping in the world, like we learned. And yet he was transformed to become a Jew. So this brings out the greatness of the Jew. This brings out the greatness of Yiddishkeit. So he says to Moshe, it's important for you to come out to meet me. And that's why it said, Vayetze Moshe Likras Chesnei. Moshe Rabbeinu went out to meet his father-in-law. And as Rashi says, you can imagine if Moshe Rabbeinu went out, Nadav and Avihu went out, and Aaron went out, and all the dignitaries went out. So it became a very diplomatic entourage that of prominent people that went to him. So it says as follows, Moshe Rabbeinu went out to meet his father-in-law. But you see, it doesn't say for his mother-in-law. Just went out for his father-in-law. No, we were learning at the Thursday morning class about Mrs. Yisri. Huh? Somebody was asking about, at the Thursday morning class, we're learning a mimer about Yisri. So somebody wanted to know about Mrs. Yitro. You know, she must have been a great lady because we were learning in the mimer the greatness of Yisri, transformation of ultimate evil to ultimate good. So somebody said, but what's with Mrs. Yisri? She must have also been a great person. So obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu for sure had a mother-in-law.
How do we know?
I mean, what do you mean, how do we know? You mean she died early, young?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe that's why he stayed Midian so long.
Uh-huh. Not mentioned.
Just to make sure.
What kind of question is that to ask a master? How do you know?
The master knows.
Lolita, did you ever ask John a question like that?
All the time.
Okay. Vayeta Meshil Ka... Vayeta Meshil Kaschesne Meshil Rabbeinu went out to meet his father-in-law. He bowed and he kissed him. And each one asked the other one how they're doing. He brought him into the tent. Now, the Pasuk doesn't say who kissed whom. The Rashi says, we don't know. It just says, Moshe went to meet his father-in-law and he kissed them. Who's the he and who's the him? So Rashi says, that's where when it says, Vayishaleu ish l'reyehu, ish refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, because it says Vayish Moshe. So Moshe Rabbeinu refers to Moshe. So therefore, when it says he kissed him and he asked him how he's doing, Moshe Rabbeinu kissed and Moshe Rabbeinu did the asking how he is. Okay. Now, the Daskin Malatesis asks a question. Yisri is also called Ish. Because it says, Vayayel Moshe L'Sheves Esa Ish. Yisri is called Ish. Before, when Moshe Rabbeinu was running away, when he met Zipora, it said Moshe stayed with the man, which refers to Yisri. So Yisri is also called Ish. So how do you know Ish refers to Moshe Rabbeinu if Ish could also mean Yisrei? So he answers, you learn out Ish from Ish, and the other pasuk says Ha-Ish, the man. So here it says Ish, and Moshe Rabbeinu is called Ish. Yisrei is called Ha-Ish, the man. So you learn out man from man, you don't learn out man from the man. He's right, Hashish. Hashish is the best. This is a very educated, because it's very super intelligent. No, it depends on the pasuk. Depends on the pasuk. Okay, so what happened? Vayavei ha'ela, they came into the tent. Now, it says, what does it mean that he came into the tent?
Not
the Ohel Moed, but they brought him into the tent. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, like the Mefarshim ask, what do you think, they stay in the desert? I mean, a guest comes to you, ask, you keep him outside in the desert? Of course you take him into the house. Why does it say he brought him into the tent? Once the Shev, Moshe Rabbeinu had a hospitality like Avraham Avinu. Just like Avraham Avinu, it was a tent that was open. So it says Moshe Rabbeinu had the Gedit Avraham Avinu, that he knew if people would be Megayer properly or not Megayer properly. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu brought Yisrael into the tent. It was Mechabedim, gave an honor, and so on and so, so forth.
Any explanation by Ohala, it sounds like her
Ohala. No, it says like La Oyel is Oela. That's all in Hebrew. A hey at the end is like a lamed at the beginning.
Yeah, but sometimes you read in
Ohala. No, it says just.
He did something.
No. Now, from here, the Gemara learns out that you have to respect your father in law. Because it says, Moshe Rabbeinu went out to meet his father in law. Don't worry, they say from here, learn out the mother in law too. You have to honor the mother in law. It says, why do you have to honor your father in law and mother in law? What's the reason for it? Because a man and wife is half each, right? So if they gave birth to your wife, so, you know, they deserve respect. You agree with that?
I heard you.
Okay.
If a woman has respect for her mom.
Yeah. If the husband lets.
That's why I came to California.
Not only that, then they add to this, by the way, and they say that even though Moshe Rabbeinu became very prominent. So he would think, so why do I have to honor my father-in-law? I'm like more prominent than my father-in-law. Nevertheless, the Torah teacher Moshe Rabbeinu still honored him. In fact, in the story before about the Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, it said when Hyrcanus finally came and appreciated his son, at that time Hyrcanus was standing. So Eliezer said, "You expect me to sit and you stand?" It was very strange. There's an interesting questions brought down in the Rishonim. It's a halachic question, by the way. If a child knows how to learn better than the father, so it's a mitzvah of honoring a scholar. It's a mitzvah of honoring the father. What happens if the son is a greater scholar than the father? So who has to stand up for whom? So the halacha is, it's a machlekes, by the way. But the halacha is that the son should still stand up for the father. But the Poskim write that the Merame Rutenberg, the mayor from Rutenberg, was the father-in-law of the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher. From the day he became the Jewish leader, he never went to see his father. Why? Because he knew that if he would come to his father would stand up for him. He didn't want his father to stand up for him, so he just never went to see him. His teacher came, the Rebbe stood up, and he told him to sit, they both stand.
Oh, they wrote letters?
Huh?
They wrote letters?
Emailed.
With this, he doesn't see his father?
His father went to see him.
No, it's because his father didn't go to see him either.
No, that's what I'm understanding. So they cut out because
we actually really hated each other.
Yeah, it seems.
You have, by the way, it's not for now, but you have the same thing with Yosef and Yaakov, by the way. Yosef and Yaakov. Because there's a problem, who's going to get up for who? When Yaakov got sick, he had no choice, he went. There's such a medrash that says, that Yaakov didn't go to Yosef, and Yosef didn't go to Yaakov because he knew.
Can they stand together at the same time?
But he didn't want his father to stand.
Sit up. Is there cutting the relationship?
He didn't cut the relationship.
Why don't you rewrite the Chumash and bring it with you? Why don't you do that, honey?
You're getting better. You're getting better with age. Okay. So he came into the tent. He brought him into the tent. Shh. Okay. So after he came into the tent, so the Pasuk Ches says, Vayisapa Meshe L'chaisnei, Meshe Rabbeinu told his father-in-law, Eis kol asher osa Hashem l'parim Mitzrayim, everything that God did to Pari in Egypt, Aleides Yisrael, for the sake of the Jews, Eis kol atla'o, all the trivial, that Hashem etza'osim baderech, meaning all the difficulties that they had during the way, Vayatzilim Hashem and Hashem saved them. So the Mefarshim all ask the simple, obvious question. Yisrael heard it already. The Pasuk says Yisrael heard it. So why did Meshach Ben have to tell him something he heard already? So Rashi alludes to it. Rashi alludes to it by saying he didn't speak to him to tell him the facts. He wanted him to become closer to Torah. Like Rashi uses the expression, Lim Sheikh Haslibai, to draw his heart, to bring him closer to Torah. So the Aruch Chaim also asked the question, why did Meshach Ben have to tell Yisrael something that the Torah already says Yisrael heard? So he said either to tell him details, to tell him details that he didn't hear, because he says, Kol Asher Asa, everything did. Okay? Because if you look in the beginning of the Pasha, it says, oh, he did say Kol Asher Asa, but here Meshe Rabbeinu told him more, and he says, Meshe Rabbeinu told him things that Yisrael couldn't have known from before. Like the way he was saved from Paray, and so on. He says a whole bunch of things that the Egyptians were dead, and all these things that Yisrael couldn't have heard from anybody else. So the only one that told him was Meshe Rabbeinu. But
one thing is, like, conversion is a process. So maybe it's a little bit of a process that he's going through with a little more explanation or spending time with him.
Well, he's spending time and he's telling him. But the question is, the Pasuk basically is repeating what Yisrael already heard. The Pasuk says Meshe Rabbeinu told him everything that God did. He said already in the Pasuk, he heard everything God did. So first of all, he added details, obviously, that he didn't know. And he was telling him things that it was impossible for him to know. Like, for instance, by Kriyas Yamsuf, all the Egyptians died. Who was there to witness it beside the Jews? The Jews didn't tell Yisrael, because they didn't see him. So there's certain facts it was impossible for him to know, unless if Moshe Rabbeinu told him. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu told him. Okay, then the Pasuk continues, and Pasuk tests. Vayichad Yisrael, literally it means Yisrael rejoiced. That's the simple meaning of the Pasuk. Al kol ha-tev and all the good asher osa Hashem li-Yisrael that God did to the Jews. Asher hitzilei mi-yad Mitzrayim, that he saved him from the hand of Egypt. Now, what does it mean again, kol ha-tev? All what good, what good? So Rashi explains there's certain good that he didn't hear about it yet. Number one, that the man fell, they had the well of Miriam, they're about to receive the Torah, and Asher Yitzili Miad Mitzrayim, that he saved them from the hand of Egypt, that's the ultimate. And Rashi explained, because Egypt was so fortified as a country, it was impossible for anybody to escape. Even a single slave couldn't escape Egypt. And here, 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60 went out in broad daylight. So that's the greatest of them all. Now Rashi says, a second interpretation from the Medrash, Vayichad Yisrael simply means he rejoiced. Vayichad Yisrael also meant he got goosebumps. Why? Because he might have been a convert, but he still was connected to Goyim for 10 generations, like it says. For 10 generations, don't embarrass a convert, because as much as they became Jewish, they're still connected somehow to the old, to the roots. So from one side, Yisrael was happy. From the opposite side, he wasn't such excited. Rashi says it from the Medrash. Yeah. Okay, Vayemi Yisrei. Yisrei said, Baruch Hashem, when it says Yisrei is the first one to say Baruch Hashem, Asher Hitzel Eschem, Miyad Mitzrayim, that Baruch Hashem, thank God that He saved you from the hands of Mitzrayim, and Miyad Pari, from the hands of Pari, meaning, what's the double expression? A very powerful country and a very powerful king, which is like a double miracle. Asher Hitzel Esa'om, that He saved the nation, Mitachas Yad Mitzrayim, from the hands of the Egypt, meaning they used to make the Jews work hard slavery. So He says He saved you from three things. Number one, from the strong country of Egypt, from the strong king of Pari, and from the severe labor that they all had to do. Okay. Okay. Then the pasuk continues, and this pasuk is a very, very important pasuk. The Gemara says, without this coming up pasuk, the Torah wouldn't have been given. And that is Ata Yadaiti. Yesterday is continuing. It says, "Now I know, Ki Gadol Hashem, the God is greater, Mikol HaElokim, from all gods. Ki Badavar, because the thing Asher Zadu, that rescued the people." Okay, for the very matter in which the Egyptians has conspired against them. Meaning, he heard, like Rashi says, they wanted to punish the Jews with water, throw the kids into the water, it came up upon them. So the way you learn the pasuk, ki badaver asher zadu, the thing that the Egyptians sinned with, aleihem, fell upon the Egyptians. Like the expression, you get burnt with the pot that you were cooking with. The Egyptian wanted to punish the Jews with water, they got punished with water. They wanted to kill them in a certain way, they killed them in, you know, what? They were punished the same way. The Zohar says that, if the Medrash says also, that until Yisrael said, Ata Yadaiti, now I know, that God is greater than all the gods, it would have been impossible for Torah to be given. So the question is, what is so great about this pasuk? But before we even get into that, to bring out another question in the pasuk. The pasuk says, now I know that God is greater than all gods. I mean, you need a chacham like Yisra to say that. Avraham Avinu, as a little kid, realized all the gods can't move, they can't talk, they can't do anything. Right? Even Terach, the big idol worshipper, you know the story when Avraham Avinu went and killed all the idols, and then he put the axe in the hand of the biggest one. And Terach came home and said, what did you do? He said, hey, what do you mean? They got into a fight, and the biggest god killed all the other gods. So he said, what are you, crazy? These guys don't move, they don't live, what do you want? So, what's the big deal that Yisrei is saying, that God is greater than all the other gods? You need a Yisrei to come to that realization. So the Rebbe explains, in a maimer, that that's not what Yisrei meant. Yisrei did not mean that God is greater than all the other gods. What Yisrei basically said, that there is nothing but God. Ata Yadaiti, because the Rebbe explains, Elokim does not only mean gods. Elokim refers to the angels and the levels of Atzilus and all the spiritual realms of the highest caliber. God says, I mean Yisrei says, now I know that God is greater than all of them, because all of them have no existence but Hashem Himself. And like we discussed, it's like the axe in the hand of the chopper. That you don't say thank you to the axe. You don't say thank you to the car that gave you a ride. You don't say thank, because they have no choice. They're nothing. They're not something that has an opinion to say let's do it or not do it. So therefore, Yisrael came along with the realization, and this is what one of the things that caused Matan Torah to happen. The ultimate level of Yisrael's greatness by saying this pasuk is a transformation of evil to good. And the fact that Yisrael comes along and says God is greater than all gods, meaning Torah says a statement, a true statement. That means Yisrael had an understanding of every religion in the world. Yisrael had an understanding of every idol that existed, because now he's coming along with a statement that God is greater than all gods. That means all gods. What is Yisrael's accomplishment? Yisrael's greatness was, there was a transformation of from ultimate level of darkness, from ultimate level of evil, to the ultimate revelation of godliness. And that's what was the prerequisite, the precedence that had to happen for Matan Torah to be able to take place. One second. Why? Because the whole concept of Matan Torah is to take the world and make the world holy, make the world Kedusha. Before Matan Torah, that couldn't be. They couldn't make the world holy. They didn't. They couldn't. They didn't, and they weren't able to. Matan Torah accomplished, you could take the Gashmi's physical world, and for that matter, darkness through the level of tshuva, and you're able to transform all the darkness into light. Who accomplished that? Yisri. Yeah?
Here, I was reading the commentary of Ibn Ezra.
Yeah?
It all came after the Ten Commandments.
There's two opinions, Rashi says. There's two opinions. Did Yisri come before Matan Torah or after Matan Torah? Mm-hmm. The opinion... Now, let's be realistic. When did he come? When did he come?
I think he came before.
You think? And you just quoted Ramban, said he came after.
No.
So there's argument between you and the Ramban.
No. Even Ezra and Ramban are arguing.
Okay.
I said there's Ramban, a big.
There is a big argument in the code of in the Medrash, not in the Rambam and Ibn Ezra. There's an argument in the Medrash. Did Yisrael come before Matan Torah, or did he come after Matan Torah? Now, just using our brain for a second, when did he come? He couldn't have come before or after. Did he come before? Did he come after? How could both be true?
Mm-hmm. Correct?
One second. The answer is, he came twice. The argument... Listen, you can't have a fact, an argument and a fact. You can argue if something's kosher or not. But you can't have an argument if something is happened before. Did it happen Monday or Tuesday? You can't say it happened Monday and Tuesday. Because either it happened Monday or it happened Tuesday. How can you say it happened both? The answer is, when Torah has an argument in a fact, in a metzius, both are right. Which means, the way this is, the commentators explained is very simply. And this is a concept you have to keep in mind. This is fundamental way of learning of Torah. Whenever there's an argument in a fact, both are right. Which means, in this case, you can't have an argument, did he come before or after? When did he come? The answer is he came both. The question is, what was the main coming? Was his main coming before, or was his main coming after? So one opinion says the main coming was before. So they say he came before Matan Torah. The other opinion says the main coming was after Matan Torah. It's after Matan Torah. But simply, the opinion that says that without Ato Yadaiti couldn't have been Matan Torah, obviously, is according to the opinion Yisrael came before Matan Torah. Mm-hmm. If he came after Matan Torah, you can't have. But even from Maimonides Chazal, when you learn a lot of different Mefarshim, it makes much more sense to say, because even Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu sent him away, before Matan Torah, he sent them away to bring his family. That means he did come back. He sent them away to come back. So you have to say he came twice. The only question is, which was the primary... I'll give you another example. And that's why in the secrets of Torah, you can't have an argument. Somebody can ask a question, is this room big or small? Somebody will say it's big, and another person will say it's small, and they're not arguing in the fact. Compared to this cup, the room is big. Compared to Staples Center, the room is small. Now, it's not a contradiction. One person says it's big, one person says it's small. They're arguing, but they're not really arguing. It's just in relative to what? Okay? Is this cup white? One opinion says, yeah, it's white. Another opinion says, no, it's not white. Why? Compared to something whiter than this, it's possible, whatever. Let's say something is whiter than this, then they'll say, no, this isn't white. Compared to black, this is very white. So when you have arguments in Torah, you can't have at any time, and the Rebbe emphasizes this many, many times, you can't have an argument in a fact, did he come before, did he come after? Was it this guy, was it this guy? Which guy was it? Was it both guys? The answer is, yeah, it could have been both people. The question, who is the primary guy? So this one says this one, this one says this one. But the fact that yesterday said, Ata Yadaiti, now I know that God is greater, meaning the transformation of evil to light, that is what allowed Matan Torah to happen, and without that, Matan Torah wouldn't have happened.
This is according to commentary?
What?
Gemara.
The Medrash says without this, the Zohar says without it, it wouldn't have happened. And Chassidus explains why. Because the whole concept of Matan Torah is the transformation of darkness, of world to Kedusha, so that's what Yisrael did. Yisrael was Kohen Midyan, not only a regular idol worshipper, he was the lead idol worshipper of all types of idols. And yet he came to the realization that God is great.